starting on our prayer focus, we're going to focus on battling the six stages of loss through prayer. Now, every human being are going to go through these stages. Some of us may go through different stages. All of us will go through particular stages within our own life. So what I've done, I've wanted to focus on what I've seen over the years and the hurt that is there and how do we deal with it. Now, again, this focus was getting through life as the master link God has called you to be. And we're going to do that through prayer, through this focus. Listen to Martin Luther King's statement. I love this. In the old days, he was one of my heroes of standing without violence in prayer and love. Listen to what he wrote. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. For those of you who are listening, let me do it again. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. So you and I must have a prayerful heart. Have you ever told somebody you just don't understand me? Well, you're right. No other human being will ever understand you. But God will. God knows your makeup, the DNA. He knows how many computer chips you're short up here. He knows all the little synaptic endings that don't synapse very well. He knows us personally. So therefore, I said, Lord, I know I'm a mess. I'm coming to you, and I'm asking for your guidance in my life. I've messed it up. I've messed up my life. Over the years, and the older you get, the more you'll recognize it. You'll look back, and you'll say, why didn't I do it this way, or why didn't I do it that way? And if I didn't do it this way or that way, why did I do it at all? And you look back on the mistakes of life. And you can't change them, can you? Any of you go back and ever change anything you've done? So what do? We pick up where we are and we give that life to Christ. Whether we're rededicating a focus within our heart, but we give it to Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 7 through 11. Apostle Paul saying, and our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Who you know, what you know, combined with prayer power, is exactly what gets you through the six stages of life, love, loss, and it's real life, loss. Who you know? I know Jesus. All right, you got the key on that one. What you know? Do you know what Jesus said? You know, do you read his word? Do you talk to him? Do you know what he said to you? Combined with prayer. Now, why is it put together with prayer? Simply because you know Jesus because of prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, I don't know what to do on my own. Save me. You heard what Paul said. Paul said, that's when we started listening, because we saw our whole life falling in front of us. We actually thought we were going to be dead, killed. And yet, God answered the prayer of the church. I want you to look at the six stages of loss that I will be going over. Shock is the first stage, when your world falls apart. You'll find that in the shock process that you get the shock upon death, upon loss, upon many things in your life. You'll see the shock. I'll deal with you with the scripture on it. The next is sorrow. And I added grief to that. Sorrow and grief. Sorrow is one type of hurting. To me, grief is another. And I said to me, so that's the only way I can preach it. Sorrow is, I'm sorry that I lost something. Grief is, I'm grieving on the inside because of the loss. Next will be struggle, when you don't understand. Have anything going on in your life and you don't understand it? You don't know why God has left you in a situation? You just don't understand it? Scripture tells us how to deal with that struggle. Next is surrender. How to experience peace. How to experience peace. Folks, I deal with so many different personalities over my ministry over 40 years here now, that not here, but in ministry. When I'm focusing on ministry, when I'm focusing on the love that God gives me, I understand something. You got to surrender. And you surrender and let God do it. Amen. Let loose, let God. We're lifting one another up in prayer. When someone comes to you and says, will you pray about this for me? I don't care what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and say, let's pray right now. Don't rely on your mind to remind you, because all the little demons you got going around up there will push that one right to the side. So you have prayer with them right then. Next, sanctification. You're going to love that one, of how God turns bad to good. And then the last stage is service. How to use your pain for good. Have you noticed in life that people, God sends people to you that are suffering and hurting the way that you are, and you see that they seem to have survived it, and then you ask? This will be a series that I don't want you to miss, because we can really learn something on this about our own life and truly how to help others. Here's a fact that you need to know, and I think we have it up. When you're in pain, explanations do not work. Now, again, when people will come to you and they will say, you know that the hurt is going on there. Do not go to that individual, as was going on with Job and his buddies. Don't go with him and say, Job, this is exactly why this has come upon you. Do not do that at all. Because explanations, you're wanting, okay, will you come, or can you explain why this happened to me? No, you can't explain why it happened to me. And it doesn't make you feel any better either. It's not going to make you feel any better when somebody says, well, now, if you just hadn't done this, and we parents are horrible at that. I told you, the one who doesn't listen has to feel. I told you that was coming. Well, it's here. I want to find peace. I know I've had a bad case of the stupids, but it's here. And God says, let me direct you to the ones that will love you, to the ones that will put their arms around you and pray for you. Amen. God said, I want you to pay attention. Christian, do not try to explain to someone why the world has fallen apart, because you don't know. What do? You go to them You sit down and you shut up and you be the listening person there. Don't try, when you're asked a direct question, you let them know it's according to what it is. Well, let's continue to pray. Let God speak to you. When they cry, you cry. When they hurt, you hurt. Do you remember how it is in a family with a child? Remember? Something happened to that child of yours. Did you not hurt? Do you not, does not something go through you that you're mad at the world because your child was harmed? And they can come to mom and dad, but we can't fix it. It's too deep. But I know the one who can. And in the focus of prayer, that's what we need to do. We need to focus on the one who can. And I don't say, Lord, give me the wisdom. Lord, give them the grace. Give them the truth of the hurt in their life that you can explain it to them. You can explain the stumbling and the falling and the tripping. You, Father, through prayer, you're asking God to bless the heart of one who is broken. Number one, life doesn't make sense. Anybody disagree with that? Life doesn't make sense, but we can have peace in it. Life isn't fair, but you and I do not have a right to contribute to its unfairness. It's not fair. Don't be saying, well, you know, it's fair for him. No, it's not. I do not know why. Some of us had to grow up on a creek bank in Buffalo, Kentucky, on Buffalo Hill, snotty nose running around with grass strings holding your britches up with no shoes on. But what an experience. I don't ever want to relive it again, but what an experience. Just like going to Marine Corps of War. What an experience. I don't want to do it anymore. Think of it. God says, I can give you peace. You're not, you will not change how you are. It is Christ who will allow you to grow in who you are through His Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I always wanted my personality to change. How about allowing God to deal with your personality and send you then to the people that have a like type personality? If you're a grouch, go minister to a grouch. See what I mean? The Bible records over 6,000 promises God made to us. 6,000. And you do remember the scripture also that if it were possible, if every promise or miracle of God were to be written in a book, the world could not hold the books it would take to write all those miracles. And your pastor did not memorize them, nor has anyone else. Does that not tell you who's truly in control, who's truly in charge? I've listened to people time and time again, well, tomorrow I will destroy you. And I've seen those people that didn't wake up for tomorrow. Do not ever, ever stand in the way of a God's man or God's woman. God wants them taken down a notch, let Him do it. Okay? Be careful. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. Think of it. My life, your life, everything in here is what's going on with us. How many times have you been pulled under the waters of life and the world is trying to drown you? Are you watching a loved one being drowned in the ocean of life itself? But God says, I will be with you and give you peace. I truly believe with my heart that even people who are being killed, because especially people being killed for their faith in Christ, whether they're being tortured or not, you and I will see the hurt and will weep for them. But when I belong to Jesus, he'll be taking that pain for me. So therefore, pray for our enemies, because they're in trouble with God. That's why you pray for them. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Let me read it again. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Those of you listening through our broadcast, write it down. Put it in your heart. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you. For us old English folks, I will never forsake you. I will never walk away from you. Isn't that enough to give me peace right in the midst of trouble? Don't you dare ask God, God, save me from trouble. Leave that alone, would you please? It is trouble from the time we're born to the time we leave this body. And I remind you again, the peace will always come because a Christian cannot die. Amen. They can kill the vehicle called the body, but they cannot kill the real me that's on the inside. If they could, somebody would have already done it. Think of it. God says, I will bring peace to you. Sometimes, whether we're in battlefront, in Vietnam, or wherever our young men and women fight today, you're there. If you're captured, you wonder why God has forsaken you. Folks, God will never forsake you. Your government will, but God will never forsake you. What a blessing to have the joy, no matter what they would say to me, that it wouldn't matter. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or the child she has born? Now, I put an emphasis on the next part because I want you to notice something. Let me read this all the way through again. But I want you to notice something, moms, dads. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or the child she has born? Even if that were possible. Now, God says it will happen. He knew it was going to happen. Do you know, I meet people all the time, folks, and they're not all locked up in the jail either. I meet people, women, who claim to be a mother. I call them incubators. But they do harm to their child, push their child away, want nothing to do with that child. Bring them to me, I'll take them. And they do all the harm that they can. Now listen to what Jesus says, though. Or God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast or the child she had born? Yeah, we're in a generation when that's taking place. Even if that were possible, listen to him. I will never forget you. Listen, your personality, you're unforgettable. You know how God can say that you're unforgettable? His son died for you. Your name is in the life of his son. You're unforgettable. I will never forget you. Look, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. We remember one who went to the cross, holes in his hands. We're engraved right there when we believe. You got it? Gosh, you know, you would think that Isaiah knew exactly what was getting ready to happen. as he did. I will never forget you look. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. One of these days, when I walk away from this body, and I am standing in the presence of my Savior, I'm going to see the most beautiful individual body with scars, holes in his hands, holes in his side. And I can look upon him and I can say, "Woo, my name is written on the hand of God." That's what Jesus is about. He's about coming and making a difference in our life. Once we continue to play church, church membership, pretending to be a Christian, God does not play church. The difference, Jesus says, "I just want to come and be with you in your heart." You get through times in your life and deal with those times when you think everything's going to collapse. And without Christ, it will. Number two, everything on earth is broken, but we can have joy. Everything on earth is broken. It got broken at the time of the Garden of Gethsemane. Garden of Gethsemane. It got broken at the time of the Garden of Eden. Earth is broken and everything on it is broken. Man sinned against God. It got put back together in the Garden of Gethsemane, but through our spirit. Because we know God is good and he's got a great plan. You see, your plans are going to fall. God has a plan that can't fall. Well, how do I know he has a plan for me? Well, just check, see if you're breathing. Yep, your plan, his plan for you is still in effect. But is your heart ready and willing to accept that plan? Going to keep doing it your way? Tell me how that's worked for you. Isaiah 24, verse 5 and verse 19. The earth suffers for the sins of his people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated his laws, and broken his covenant. Therefore, the earth has broken down and has utterly collapsed. Everything is lost, abandoned, and confused. That sounds sort of like your family, right? Sounds like a lot of personalities you get around. Look at Romans 8:28. But we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Romans 5:3-5. We can have joy. Even in our troubles, joy unspeakable. We can have joy even in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and this hope will not disappoint us because God has poured his love to fill our hearts. As a Christian, your heart is filled with the love of God. That's the love of his Son. That's not your battle, your spiritual heart. You don't need to battle that. The battle's been won on where you're going to end up as a Christian. The battle you're fighting is the one in your brain, your human condition, your mind. Yes, but that spirit, as the professor would say, that is a part of your mind. I do not believe that in the least. I do not. The brain is natural. It is going to die. Sometimes I think it's about half dead. Anyway, but it's going to continue. And when this body, the vehicle that's carrying the real me on the inside, when this body, the real me, shows up in heaven, the brain ain't making it. Listen to him. We can have joy, even in our troubles, because we know that these troubles produce endurance. When you have these troubles, please quit thinking they're a curse. They're there for a purpose, to help us to grow And lastly, life is a battle, but we can have hope. Life is a battle, but we can have hope. Folks, you live because of the hope you have. All hell comes against you and your family, against your life, and you can still have hope. What is that hope? That hope is knowing that Christ is in control. The man does not get the final say about you. God does. And God says, when you accept my son, you follow my son. Don't you say that you accept Jesus and then push him aside. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. We've got enough cults out here in the world. You follow the teachings of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 and verse 14. We often suffer, but we're never crushed. Folks, I've been there, and I guarantee you the majority of you have been there, to where you think you just can't stand. And you think, God, please take me home. God, get me out of this mess. But it was for this mess that God sent me. And you, for that mess and that trouble in your life, there is a purpose. You're not going through it accidentally. God is helping us to grow. And no matter how many times you tell him, Lord, I think I'm tall enough, you're not. Because he is preparing us for something greater. The greater is already in you as a Christian. The somethings, you'll see it in heaven. We often suffer, but we're never crushed, even when we don't know what to do. We never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we are knocked down, we get up again. Because we know God raised the Lord back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life. Just as he raised Jesus, he will. There's no might. He might raise you. I'm coming out of there, folks, with a brand new glorified body. Lord, back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and will bring us into his presence together with him. Now, you can go ahead and argue all you want to about, well, exactly where's heaven? And everybody that tells you exactly where heaven is have no more of an idea than I do. Here's the good part about it, where Jesus is. I want to be there where Jesus is. And I'm going to be there because I know him. 1 Corinthians 15:43. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, right? Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. 2 Corinthians 4:18. You know, for those of you who will have people ask you, why do we have to die? I've been asked that many times over the years. You know, this looks like we could go on home. Well, and people say, well, I'm waiting for the rapture. Well, you're not going to miss the rapture. You'll either be coming or going. According to Scripture, you'll be coming back with Christ for the church, or you'll be lifted up with the church. You're not missing any of the excitement. But we have a world that is so hurting, and a world that says this is all there is. When you have an individual, I know from the crisis intervention stand, when you have an individual that sees no hope past that situation, you got your hands full. When you see an individual that does not understand that this body is not the end of it, then you need to spend some time there. Offer them that hope. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. You can't do that in hope. Today, You're knocked down. The duty of every Christian is to be there with you. And the scripture tells us, be there, for tomorrow it may be you. I can tell you it will be you, won't it? 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we don't focus on the troubles that we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles we see now, they're temporary, but the joys to come will last forever. School kids always smile when it starts to snow. We get out of school. And I told my grandson, yeah, but you got to make it up if you miss very many days. Don't worry about that, Papa. That's later. It's okay. We'll make it up. Right now is the time I don't have to go to school. Revelation 21, verse 4. Then God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. All new. A new creation. Do we not understand that you and I were formed in the womb by the hand of God? The world doesn't understand that. As baby after baby after baby is aborted, a living soul inside a womb, but God sees it. And that is a living person, personality to God. And he says, the time's coming. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. It comes with peace, joy, and hope. You'll live a miserable life, folks, if you can't find peace on the inside. Now, I don't care how rough it gets in the world. I don't care what your job is in the world. I don't care what's going on with your family. And I'm saying I don't care from the situation. It's not going to change the hope that God has for you. What you're going through is nothing new. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, where you accept him, that's the newness that'll pull you through. You cannot do it on your own. I am not from this earth, and neither are you now. When you said yes to Jesus, we know that we're to count it as though we're already there. But we have a job to do down here. And that job focuses on a ministry God has called us to. Tell them the truth. If they accept, they will be saved. But they have the freedom to walk away. God looks to the heart of the matter. You and I happen to be the heart that matters to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and for your peace and for your joy. We ask, dear Lord God, as you touch our lives, Father, as you direct each of us, that you will give us the strength and the boldness to stand strong. Help us realize, Father, that all we have is a gift from you. All we ever hope to have is a gift from you. And all we are is the gift from you, and that each of us need to give of ourselves to others. We ask your blessing now, Father, as we make commitments in Jesus' name. Amen.